Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. It's not, it's afternoon. So I got it wrong here. You know, one thing that I do want to say is that, you know, there were so many things that were being said in the welcome today. But we all know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So we're going to leave it like that. But, when Phil got up there, I said, where is he going to with this? But it's amazing when he says love is blind. And it's true. So, we're going to be turning our Bibles now to James chapter 5. James 5. Next week, or this Wednesday, we're going to be finishing a series on the book of James. And I know this Wednesday, Mulligan is going to be teaching from James 5, verses 13, all the way down. And so, we will definitely be encouraged by that. A challenging book that calls us to have faith and deeds. A book that calls us to watch our tongue, and a book that keeps on reminding us of the plight of the disciples back then and the rich oppressing them. But such a great book that sometimes you can never get enough of it because different insights keep on jumping out every single time that you read it. But today, I've just entitled this message, The Power of Patience. I'm an impatient man. I've been impatient with myself, impatient with family. Probably impatient with some of the members in the church. Impatient sometimes when I'm driving. When there is traffic, you know, I just can't bear it. I've always got to be moving. You're waiting for the bus is late, I'm clock watching. I'm just impatient. And yet, in the story here, we see God teaching these people, these believers, these disciples, these Christians. He's addressing them that, I know you are suffering, but you've got to be patient. We hear people say, you know, I want patience and I want it now. But God is saying, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to put you on a bed of suffering. I'm going to put you on a character course. So that when you're refined, then I can start using you the way I want to use you. You know, for every single one of us sitting down right here, we are not finished yet. God is not finished with any single one of us yet. Until He molds us. Until He breaks us. And until He gets us to be what we need to be, then He will say, yes. I've got you where I need you to be. Not on your terms, but on my terms. I know when you look at it, you know, there's a movie that once came out, which we watched many years ago. Are We There Yet? Do we all remember that? The kids were in this massive escalator, and the kids were there going on a family break. And every single, was it every 5 minutes? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? You know what, brothers and sisters? We are going to get there. Isn't that right? Heaven is our destination. But we've really got to realize in our hearts, you understand, that we've got a destination. We've got something greater where we are going to. So hold on. Isn't that right? We have got to, do not throw it away, because we know of many people who have had the faith but have thrown it away because of a lack of patience in their lives. But God will test us. Isn't that right? God will mold us, and He will say, you know, hey, it's my time. Isn't that right? A man once said, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. And so, you know, we make plans and God says, hey, it's going to be in my own time. And God's time is always right. You know, James 5, verses 7 to 12, the Bible reads, be patient then, brothers, unto the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, or by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Isn't that right? Now, we know that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, when he talks about some of these discourses, he says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. He says, anything else comes from the evil one. So he talks about an integrity that is matched from the inside and also from the outside. You know, today, I've just got 3 points as we focus on 3 characters from James chapter 5. Point number one, the farmer, keep on working. The farmer, keep on working. Point number two, the prophets, keep on witnessing. And point number three, Job, keep on worrying. No, that's not a good point. Okay. All right. No, I changed it here just to trick you guys. But some of you guys wrote it down. How many of us wrote it down? Keep on worrying. No. What worry? You know, why worry when you know? Okay. Point number three, Job, keep on persevering. All right. Okay. You know, when we look at the scriptures, you know, James, he's still here addressing all of these suffering saints when he wrote, be patient. You know, three times in the verse here, he talks about the whole word about being patient. You know, what does the word mean? You know, the word, okay, this is just from our commentators. It says the word long-tempered. It means the word long-tempered. The words endure and patience in James 5:11 literally mean to remain under. And speak of endurance under great stress. Patience means to stay put and stand fast when you'd like to run away. Patience means to stay put and stand fast when you'd like to run away. I got to tell you guys, there have been times in my life when I wanted to run. When the pressure was on and life was challenging. And you got to say, God, take it away from me. But it wasn't going. And so, that saying comes, that saying is real when he says, I was between a rock and a hard place. Now, that's a bad place to be. Many Greek scholars think that long-suffering refers to patience with respect to persons, while endurance refers to patience with respect to conditions or situations. Church and brothers said this morning, are we willing to endure? Are we willing to be patient? I believe our maturity as a congregation, circumstances determine how well we are going to do. Christianity was never a bed of roses. Nobody said that it was going to be easy. And so we take the good and we take the bad. God is not going to right all the wrongs in this world until Jesus Christ returns. And so we must patiently endure. You know, sometimes people say, well, I wish Jesus was here now. Jesus is perfect. He's gone away. Isn't that right? So we miss perfection, but we can model repentance. Isn't that right? We can change. Because there's no perfection around us. So the question we ask ourselves this morning, how can we endure patiently? Point number one, the farmer, keep on working. If a man is impatient, then he had better not become a farmer. You cannot be a farmer if you're impatient. Man, I respect that. You know, when you drive out into the countryside of Kent, or whether you go to, England's green and pleasant land. Now, I know some of us, we don't like the rain. You know, when it rains, you know, we get kind of uncomfortable. But thank God for England's green and pleasant land. There is no place in the world that has nice green grass or a pleasant rolling countryside like the United Kingdom. That's why we sing Jerusalem, isn't that right? Green grass, nice, you know, driving to Devon or Cornwall, you know, Scotland, there you see, and you kind of think, man, this is awesome. And you see the farmland and the animals, and you kind of think, man, what a great country to be. I hope you feel that way. I didn't get all of the amens. You guys live in this country. You live in this country, isn't that right? You live here, you've migrated here, you love it here, isn't that right? Amen. So, hey, England's green and pleasant land. Pays your bills, isn't that right? GP there, everything. Hey, you're going to say, hallelujah, I live here. Amen. England's green and pleasant land. You say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, dear. What are we on about this morning? Oh, is someone there? Okay. You can't be a farmer if you're impatient. I know no crop appears overnight. No crop appears overnight. You know, you've got to till that soil. You've got to work that soil. Whether it's weeds, do you understand? Whether it's those dandelions there, you've got to root it out. No farmer is in control of the weather like us. Isn't that right? One day in the morning, you understand, you see fog. In the afternoon, you see sun. By midnight, it is raining. So you can't predict the weather. But you know, the farmer must have patience with the seed and the crop. You know, when a farmer plants seeds, it takes time for plants to grow. It takes time for Christians to grow. It takes time for anything to mature. Isn't that right? But you see, it takes a lot of hard work. You know, because you see the farmer there, he's tilling the soil, he's planting the seeds. And, you know, when you look at it, back then, Jewish farmers would plow and sow in what, you know, is known as September to kind of November, autumn. So they throw in the seeds, and then they wait. Isn't that right? And then the early rains, okay, our rains have come early. I thought we were in summer already. Are we in spring or summer? Is this the rainy season? What are we in? I don't know. But hey, Jesus is Lord. Hey, take the weather. Amen. And then the early rain would come, and you know, that would soften the soil. And then the later rains would come in the early spring, February to March, and help to mature the harvest. But the farmer had to wait for his seed to produce fruit. He had to what? Wait. And it's not as if the farmer was there sitting by the field with what? A magnifying glass and looking at every single move when the plant was, you know, we just leave it, isn't that right? And then he grows. And yet Jesus right here, what is our point here? James is saying, just like the farmer, we are spiritual farmers, isn't that right? Looking for a spiritual harvest in our lives. Our hearts are the soil. And the seed is the word of God. You know, there are seasons to the spiritual life that we live in. You know, there's so many seasons to the spiritual life that we're in. You know, sometimes people talk about sowing, reaping, harvesting. All that, you know, there are different seasons to the spiritual life. And let me tell you something. God right now is still doing what? He's still doing a work on our hearts. He is plowing. And sometimes we don't like the plowing. We don't like the plowing. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. And yet, what happens when that plant comes out, he sends the sunshine, and you see the flower blossoming, and you say, man alive, isn't God good? Isn't God great? You know, which park? I was in a park the other day. No, I was studying with a guy in Houston, and there's friend's house. You understand? And out there, it was a Thursday, and you know, the nice, massive roses. And I just smelled the roses, man. Just the smell of it, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of felt, okay, would it be right to cut a rose and take home? No, that'd be illegal. Do you understand? So, amen. Go buy a flower at home. Amen. But you know, brothers and sisters, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about our lives. You know, when the going is tough, what do you do? God is producing a harvest in your life. You've got to keep on working like the farmer. Patience. God is doing something great in your life. You know, sometimes when we go through struggles, what do we say? You know, look at my life. Look at me. Been around a long time. Things ain't working out. I'm not bearing fruit. My character isn't changing. I want to quit. Oh. Well, I've got some examples for you today. The prophets and Job. Great examples that we can relate to. You know, bearing fruit is not about you. It's all about God. And perseverance is all about, okay, I've got to keep on working. I've got to keep on toiling. You know, I've got to keep on sharing my faith. Well, I've been around for many, many years in the church. Nothing seems to be happening. Well, you stop sowing. God was the same. God didn't stop. You change. You change. You know, when we talk about, you know, our hearts, he wants the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives. You know, one of the things that, so turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Let's talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Let's talk about Galatians 5. The only way God can mature us is through what? Trials and troubles. And he's saying, you know, when these challenges are coming, when you're called to change your character, be patient like the farmer. Galatians chapter 5. Now I know that becoming a disciple, there were many things that were taught me by great mentors in the faith. And men that I really respect. Men that saw me, that sat me down, that it's okay to share your feelings. You understand? It's okay for those things. It's okay to be vulnerable. Because growing up, vulnerability was not in my family's dictionary. Feeling as a man of weakness sometimes could earn you a beating or a bad look. Because as a man, you got to be strong. Isn't that right? So if you came in and said, well, I feel this way today. What feeling? Be a man. But Jesus wept. Jesus could connect with people. And yet that's the heart of what we're talking about today. You know, I feel very challenged when I look at Galatians chapter 5 as God continually works on my own character. And he's going to keep on working on it through trials and troubles. Galatians 5. Are you guys there yet? Are you there yet? Okay. Some of you are saying, yeah, but you're just turning there. But that's okay. Okay, Galatians 5:22. Bible is right here. But what's the fruit of the Spirit? Now, a lot of times, you know, we talk in generalization and we say fruits of the Spirit. No, it's one fruit, isn't that right? With many facets to it. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, he goes on earlier on and he talks about the conflict between the spirits, isn't that right? And what is happening here. And you know, just to keep things very, very brief right here, when I look, you know, beginning of this year, I have my prayer book there. One of the things I put down there was more, okay, my walk with God. That's always going to be number one, isn't that right? A passion in my walk with God, like I've never had before. Second one was to love my family and connect with my family. Then I write down the names, okay? You know, connect with Bola, you know, with Tammy, with Tosi. Be vulnerable around them, you know, don't be prideful. That's on my prayer list. So it's there at the back of the prayer book. And then thirdly, I said, God, I really want to just grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And I got to tell you guys, I just think it's going to be easy. But every single time, God is throwing something my way to test my heart and see what I'm going to rise up to it. And I'm kind of thinking, man, God, this is hard. You know, something will be said, and then I get impatient. I'm not gentle. And then I walk away, I kind of thinking, man, God, I've blown it again. But didn't I say that prayer this morning? I said it this morning. Sometimes it's even, you know, an hour after the quiet time. And then I'm kind of saying, man, God, when is this going to happen? Man, and you're praying, love. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. And you pray those things, and you're kind of thinking, God is not finished with me yet. And I look at myself and I kind of think, man, you know, hey, I just got to surrender right here. God is changing my character. You know, brothers and sisters, character changes take time. And, you know, this is why we've got to be patient with one another. Now, we've got to be growing, isn't that right? But character changes. You know, I think I've grown, you know, in my love, my ability to love people, absolutely. I keep on growing in my joy. Do you understand? But, you know, I look at some of the areas here, okay? Patience, okay? That is still ongoing work. I've grown a lot in my patience, isn't that right? I've grown in it, but there's still more work to be done. My wife is smiling at me. Oh, dear. I thought that was going to be an encouraging point, but she smiles like... Oh, man. You know, so I look at kindness. Okay, I've got to be a lot more kind. You know, brothers and sisters, kindness. We've got to look out for each other. Kindness. You know, goodness. Are we full of goodness? Faithfulness. Gentleness. You know, gentle. You know, self-control. And I'm kind of thinking, man, these are challenging things I've got to keep on working on. How about you? Being in the ministry has taught me a lot of lessons that you've got to persevere. God will continually work on your character. Whether it be work, whether it's a bad boss, whether it's a good boss. You've got to be patient as God works on your character. You know, some of you might be thinking, well, you know, I've tried and tried and tried in the church. I've tried and I've tried, but nothing seems to be happening in my life. You've got to keep on working. I keep on hearing people say, well, if Christ is not formed in me, then I can't do anything. Oh, no, you've got to do both at the same time. I want to mature in Christ. I want to see Christ. But you've got to do both at the same time. Because Jesus has his clear imperatives. Isn't that right? But you mature by doing those things. You don't fold your arms and say, well, look, I've had a bad morning today. Therefore, I'm not going to have a quiet time. Therefore, I can't share my faith. Therefore, I can't reach. No. Christ is being formed. You've got to keep on doing those things. Isn't that right? And being what you need to be. We are looking for a harvest. A heart that is not established cannot bear fruits. What kind of fruits are you bearing? You know, keep in mind, the farmer does not stand around doing nothing. He's constantly at work as he looks toward the harvest. What are you looking forward to? You know, when I look at my Christian life, I look at my character. Became a baptized disciple in 1985. And you know, the scary thing is, do I look the same? Am I still the same like I was 25 years ago? Are those sins I struggled with many, many years ago, are they still the same in my life? Do people see a difference? Am I still the same emotional person, ratty person, bulldog in a china shop person? You understand? Or, you know, in terms of unfriendly, am I still like that? Or is my character changing? Because our lives as disciples is all about character changes. Are we changing our character? In the room, brothers and sisters, you know, are we standoffish? But that is not the fruit of the Spirit. Are you able to hug everybody in the fellowship? Or is there always a barrier? Then we got to change that. Why? Because God wants to do an amazing work in our lives. You know, the farmer right here, the farmer doesn't get into fights with his neighbors. One of the usual marks of farmers is their willingness to help other farmers. See, yes, yeah, don't grumble. You know, it's their willingness. You see, nobody on the farm has time or energy for disputes with his neighbors. Because you're all in the farming business together. Now, in some other places, they might want to poison the soil. Isn't that right? Get very competitive. But you see, nobody has the energy. And so James says right here in 5:9, do not grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. I put here, or whine, when we can't change our situation. If you can't change your situation, change your mindsets. If you can't change your situation, change your attitude. I think some of us, we find ourselves in situations, whether it's at work. I got to tell you guys, maybe I've never shared this before. When I was working a secular job, I knew that first and foremost, my devotion was to the church. Because Jesus is Lord. So he's number one, not my job. Number one. I remember when I left the full-time ministry, first job was on a Wednesday. And I said, man, for many years in my life, I've never missed a Wednesday church meeting. And I felt challenged. And then my boss came in one day. This is the first Wednesday. I just got the job. And, you know, there was some unruly offenders in the room. And this lady is supposed to be my senior probation officer. And she said, you make the decision. Well, I'm new. I'm just green behind the ears. So what do? I shut down the group. I came to church. But God, the lady came back next day. He didn't go on my praise. He said, Stokes, next time don't do that. And I just said, hallelujah. But I got to tell you guys, and then later on, you know, when I got into management, there are situations that you're in, but you never, ever go the way of the world. With the backbiting, with the office politics, you stay, you know, you just stay. I had a cubicle. So lock myself in my cubicle, do my thing, people would come on in. Hey, don't swear around me. But I got to tell you something. Then around the time, they were asking me that, okay, do you want to go for this promotion? I didn't share anything. I was just taking it in. Then I got an email one day, you understand? Some new girl, well, she's going to be running the office and she'll run in with talks here and there. But you know one thing? It didn't bother me one bit. Because that's the world. Isn't that right? The pressures. But you know one thing? All throughout that time, my attitude didn't change. I kept a joyful attitude. I kept a positive attitude. I wasn't going to be dragged down into office mess. I don't do office gossip or office politics. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes we become like the rest and our testimony becomes weak. And sometimes, you know, we get so impatient with God and then what happens? It moves into the church. Point number one, be patient like the farmer. Point number two, the prophets keep on witnessing. Are you with me? You know, in 5:10, just one quick verse right here. All what it says right here is, okay, I'm in Galatians. Okay, James, let's go back to James. Okay, you guys should have reminded me that you're still in Galatians. No, just kidding. Okay, we love each other here. Okay, James 5, verse 10. Look at what it says. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have what? Persevered. A Jewish congregation back then would have understood this simple reference that James made about the Old Testament prophets. He's saying, okay, let me just read this scripture to you right now. I've got it right here on my phone. I wanted to read it from the message. In verse 9, it says, friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you. That is true. You know, the judge is standing just around the corner. Verse 10, take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never once quit. Are you putting up with are you putting up with anything? Now, there are some things you can't put up with. Have you gone through everything? And are you a quitter? It says, all the time honoring God, while a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. And you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares right down to the last detail. You know, take the prophets as your mentors. You know, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he shares about the victory of what? The victory of the prophets over persecution. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew 5. The prophets keep on witnessing. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Are we there? Are we there yet? All right. Okay. In Matthew 5 verse 11, it says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Because of who? Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What encouragement do you receive from the example? They were persecuted. You know, on a Friday, I was having a chat with John. You know, brothers and sisters, Christians, you know what we do? We share our faith. Isn't that right? Whether good or whether bad. The response doesn't really matter, but I've shared my faith. So John is saying, you know, Friday we went out as a singles family group and we went to Eltham. And all of us love sharing our faith in Eltham, don't we? Eltham. Or do you prefer Lewisham? Okay, amen. All right. But, you know, John said, you know, we went out there, we shared our faith. Some of the responses were good. Some of them were kind of bad and obnoxious. And I tell you, you've got to be out there sharing your faith. But sometimes we fear persecutions too much. We fear the response rather than the reward at the end. And guys, we've got to be active in sharing our faith. Because how are you going to know? How are we going to save this nation if we're not out there sharing our faith? Whether it be at work, whether it's a family, you know, we've got to be out there sharing our faith. Especially, one of the biggest rejections I fear is sharing your faith on the train. Now, I've got a big voice. Normally, when I'm on the phone, somebody hears what I'm talking about. So I can't whisper. I'm not good at whispering. Do you understand? Because when I whisper, people hear. Do you understand? I say, so, you're on the train right there. You're trying to share your faith. Do you understand? And then you're very positive. You think you're going to get a positive response. And then all of a sudden, there's the look there. I don't have a faith in God. Leave me alone. And you're kind of thinking, oh man, I've got to ride all the way from the train, from London Bridge all the way to Barnhurst, with everybody looking like that. Who is this religious Joe? Do you understand? Well, amen. All for Jesus. Thank you. But do you think I don't feel rejection in my heart or pain in my heart or looking like a fool? And then you sit there silent thinking, okay, should I even dare invite the other person? And you put yourself in humble mode. And you're trying to smile at them and nobody's smiling at you. Putting their heads, and you come. Get me up the train. You think I don't feel it? Oh, I feel it. And I know you feel it too. Acting as if you don't feel it. Acting, yeah. Victory over persecution. You know what, guys? How is your outreach? When things are tough. You know, some of these guys here, James is encouraging them. You know, I know things are there, but look. These guys are your mentors. You've got to keep on doing what's right. These guys persevered. These guys are there as an example for you. They didn't have it easy. And we're not going to have it easy either. You know, Satan tells the faithful Christian that his suffering is the result of sin or unfaithfulness. That's what Satan will tell you. Isn't that right? And yet, your suffering might well be because of your faithfulness. Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And some of us, we love the package of man. Baptizing to Jesus. The chest is ours. Yeah. Disciple. Loving it. Loving the blessings. But when the persecution comes, or you stomp your little spiritual toe, man, I didn't know life was going to be tough. I didn't know it was going to be hard. Isn't that right? I became a disciple, wrote a letter to my parents, all excited about it, hunky-dory. I get a negative letter back. I'm kind of thinking, I thought they were going to be excited. No, they don't see eye to eye. You know what, church? Obedience doesn't necessarily produce ease or pleasure. Well, I obeyed. Obedience cost Jesus the cross. It led to the cross. But he kept on witnessing on the cross. You know, no matter what you're going through in life, guys, you cannot compare it to what Jesus went through for you on the cross. You cannot compare it to those brothers and sisters that we're raising money for, and thank you so much for your house, in Bangladesh or Pakistan, where your life will be taken if you're found sharing your faith. So they do it through relations. You know, Shaquille and Poona came over from Pakistan last year, and they came to staff meeting. They lead the church in Lahore. If you share your faith in Pakistan, outwardly, or you invite a Muslim, you could get killed. A couple that were in Hope, Afghanistan. You know, we normally sing the song. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Couple in Afghanistan, helping the Hope Project. You know, you're there helping. And these guys are ruthless in Afghanistan. Their position was, because you cannot just help. You've got to put in a little bit of Jesus. I mean, I cannot be in a place for 1 year or 6 months and not talk about Jesus. Can I just say something, teens? Are you fitting in where you are? Teenagers, are you fitting in? Do people in your school know that you're a disciple, that you're a Christian? Are you fitting in? What's your conversation like? Do you stand out, or is it Mr. or Mrs. Congeniality? Yeah, okay, I just want to be liked by everybody. No. You've got to stand out. Are you different? Oh, there was some silence from the teens right now. Are you different? You know, brothers and sisters, those of us at work, are we different? Well, there's some silence in the room. Hey, I shared, people looked at me, said all kinds of things. Some of them came, one guy came, but that's okay. You know one thing though, but I want people to know who I am. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. And the song says, maintain the honor of his word. Are we maintaining the honor of his word? You know, God cares for us, you know, through suffering. You know, Elijah himself, when he went up to Ahab, you know, Ahab was married to, the Bible calls her a wicked wife, Jezebel. Man, she was one intense lady. You understand? I don't know what she looked like. I don't know whether we'll see her when we get to heaven, where God is going to play a big video and show some history of what they look like. But you can imagine, isn't that right? Because when Elijah went back there, he says she was there, painted all up, you understand, looking down. And what did he say? Throw her down, and the dogs licked her bones. Ate her up and licked her bones. That's what the Bible says. Not me. That's what the scripture says. Amen. I'm just repeating what the Lord has written in the Bible. Amen. Okay, sorry about that, guys. But you know, Elijah said there was going to be drought on the land for 3 years. But you know what happened? Elijah himself had to suffer in that drought. You know, guys, when we call judgment on a nation, we too will suffer for it. There are many things that we're calling down on this nation nowadays that we're saying it is wrong. We've got to keep on witnessing. Same-sex marriage. As a minister, as a fellowship, we don't believe in same-sex marriages. It's all been watered down all over the, you know, all over the shop, all over the news right there. Everybody's signing up, and I'm kind of thinking, man alive, we got to take a stand. It is wrong. It is Bible. Even if it means that I am going to be what, excluded or marginalized, it doesn't really matter. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. You keep on witnessing. Even in workplaces, you understand? What is your opinion? Let me tell you what my opinion is. This is what the Bible says. Not me, I'm sharing the scriptures. I'm not into fitting in. Jesus did not die for us to fit in. He died for us to have an example and to be a life. How radical it might be, we can't fit in. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create Adam and Adam. He didn't create Eve and Eve. He created Adam and Eve. Do you get what I'm saying right, guys, here? I am passionate about this. And many other things. But I'm just passionate about this point right now. Many of the prophets, they had to endure great trials and sufferings. Not only at the hands of people around them who are non-Christians, but also at the hands of people who call themselves the religious. It was the religious establishment that sent Jesus to the cross. I've got to tell you guys, let me just quickly round up these points. You know, you preach a message on discipleship. It is not taught in most places. Where people say, you've got to deny yourself. I mean, first study. You guys have heard me, first study. Who does this guy think he is? Galatians 5, okay, you're going to give up immorality, blah. I'm kind of thinking, who do you think you are? But the boldness helped my life today. And you know one thing I love? I want to say, you know, we're loving, but you've got to put the truth before people. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we say, so help me God. You know, religiosity. You know, church, brothers and sisters, I think we've got really got to be careful that we don't get religious as a fellowship. That we do lose our sense of discipleship, of fitting in. You know, if you've lost your distinctiveness, then you're going to say, there's some areas of my life that I've really got to change. Yeah, life is hard, but let me keep on witnessing. And I'm sure most of us today, we can change that in our own lives. You know, you look at the religious world today, what are some of the contentious things? How to have your sins forgiven is one of the most contentious things that we have around us today. Ooh. The religious world would say, I don't think the Bible says that. Studied with a gentleman, Chris Olu and I. And we went through the whole scriptures about salvation. And then the guy came back with grace. I said, absolutely, we are saved by grace. But Jesus gives specific instructions on how to get saved. We cannot be ashamed of that. We've got to be men that handle the word of truth correctly. But we got to keep on witnessing, you know, and not get ashamed that when we get opposed, we got to get in there and help people. You know, Jeremiah, when he was preaching, he was arrested as a traitor, even thrown into a well to die. And yet God fed Jeremiah and kept him safe, even though he looked as if the prophet was going to die. Ezekiel and Daniel, great prophets in the Bible. These are just examples. They went through, but didn't God see them through? God saw them through. And even those who are not delivered died for their faith, and yet the Bible talks about God has a special place for them in heaven. You know, brothers and sisters, when I think about our brothers in Iraq or Iran, when I think about our sister in northern China who became a disciple and was killed by her boyfriend because she split the relationship, you see, in heaven, God has a special place for them. Yeah. You know what, guys? Let me just throw this out right here. If a persecution arose like never seen before in London, would you abandon your faith? Now, you got to hide. Isn't that right? You got to hide. Isn't that right? You got to hide. Okay? Now, you don't want to be silly. But if you are caught. Okay, now we're going. And they put a gun to your head. What would you do? Well, you know. Can I tell you, Christian? No. Oh, no, I'm Anglican. I'm a Protestant. Oh, didn't they tell you that Muhammad is my brother? Oh, yeah. How shameful. They died for their faith. Point number three. Even before I move on to point number three, I think, brothers and sisters, let me just say something here. Inspirational Bible study is what keeps your faith going. When you're inspired in your Bible study, and you look at some of these examples here, when you spend time in the Bible, getting acquainted with the heroes of the faith, it does mean that they've been before me. If they can do it, I can do it also. How's your Bible study? Is it inspiring? Are you having some inspiring times with the Word? Because it's the Word that changes us. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You look at the Bible. Daniel in the lion's den. Wow. Man, they turned that heat up. Man, they turned it up. Even the guys that came near the furnace, they go, man, God saved Daniel. Isn't that right? Wow. They threw him into the lion's den. Wow. God saved him. And you're thinking, wow, Ezekiel, wow, Hosea, these guys persevered. David and Saul, yeah, that was kind of a bad relationship. But God, and you kind of think, our God is alive. Our God is still real. The better we know the Bible, the more God can encourage us in the difficult experiences of life. How well do you know your Bible this morning? Like the farmer, keep on working. Like the prophets, keep on witnessing. Point number three, keep on persevering. Let me just round this up quickly. Keep on persevering. Now, brothers and sisters, what is perseverance as we close out? Let me round this up. What is perseverance? And why do we need to persevere? Okay. More. Yeah? Okay. Long-suffering. And why do we need to persevere? Why is that so important? Okay. Yes. Absolutely. Thanks. Rosemary? To prove that your faith is genuine. Thank you. Marvin? Development and growth. Okay. Duni? Absolutely. Even when it's difficult. Don't you think the Christian life sometimes is difficult? Oh man, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Baptized into Christ, isn't that right? You're not going to fail to receive mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, homes, everything, including what? Persecution. I said, oh man, Jesus, why do you put that there? But anyway, comes in a package. Okay, last one. Yeah. To fight the good fights. You know, Brother says, are we in a fight right now? Are we in a fight right now? Isn't that right? You know, the Bible counsels, blessed those who have persevered. And yet, you know, look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Last scripture we look at today. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I got to tell you, one of the most challenging times when I was in the ministry, I was in North London. I was in a fog. Don't know where I was. But the Lord was refining the tar. Do you understand? Regardless, you talk about people, God has a way. God will walk through good and walk through bad. Isn't that right? So regardless, and I remember that night, I walked from all the way from East Finchley where we lived. I walked all the way to Kentish Town. I was praying. I had that prayer, walked all the way from East Finchley, walked to Kentish Town. No. Was it Kentish Town or Camden? I think it was I nearly approached Camden Town. And I walked back that all night prayer. And I said, God, this is my life. Change it. I got to tell you guys, that prayer didn't change anything. Oh, I walked that night. I was a lot fitter. But man, but I tell you, I have to persevere. So you come, I kind of think, I want it now. We didn't come. But I tell you though, that was 1995 or 96. But you know, guys, on reflection, on preparing this message, later I look back and I tell, thank you God for putting me through that. Because what you put me through then, with all what has been through my life since I've been here since 1995, it didn't allow my heart to get bitter. I had to work through some things, walk through some things on my heart. For me, just say, God, I surrender. Not about talks. It's all about God. And had I made some mistakes? Yes. But I got to tell you, I looked at it, was it 96? And I said, God, thank you, as you look back. Because back then, I didn't like it. But I've had to persevere. And brothers and sisters, we're going to go in hand in hand into heaven. We're not going to quit. Isn't that right? Winners don't quit. Quitters never win. Romans chapter 5, last scripture, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace, into this grace which is now, which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our what? Guys, in my years as a disciple, I have never walked into church where somebody says, how is life? And I'll say, you know what, brother? I am rejoicing in my sufferings. Oh, brother, man, I'm looking for sufferings to come. I'm just looking forward to it. No way, Jose. I don't know about you, but in my life, I've never said, God, I'm rejoicing in my sufferings. Isn't that right? And yet, Paul says, we also rejoice in our sufferings. You rejoice in it, why? Because it's going to produce what? He says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. We teach our children to suffer in the sense that, you know, when they fall down, we pick them up, you know, because we want them to develop some form of character. Perseverance, walking through things, you know. And then it says, perseverance produces what? Character. And character, hope, and hope does not fail us. You know what, guys? We have got to suffer. It comes to us sometimes. It comes, it's there, but it comes, it's part of life. It is part of life. You know, a commentary or a writer says, God has to balance privileges with responsibilities, blessings with burdens, or else you and I will become spoiled, pampered brats. When do our blessings come, brothers and sisters? It comes in the midst of trials that we may experience God's blessings. Okay? Three Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wasn't God an amazing God? Job, you understand? I can't go, we all know Job's story, isn't that right? Circumstances were against Job. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his children. And what did the wife say? Curse God and die. Hey, I don't know whether I would have said that. Do you understand what I'm saying? When everything is taken away. But you know what Job said? Job just said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Guys, we cannot grumble against a loving God. A kind God. God is a great God, isn't that right? But sometimes when the challenges come, we start to say, oh God, look at what you did. He's good. He's putting you on a journey. So you can be or you can be. You know, Proverbs 24:10, write this down as a reference. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? You know, God, you know, Satan did all he wanted with Job. But let me tell you something. Even though Job was questioning God, you know one thing he did? He didn't at once slight God or say anything bad against God. You know, this morning, when we look at our lives, are we patient? Are we going to persevere? A lack of perseverance has cost many, many people their souls, their lives, bad choices, and bad consequences. Impatience has done that. You know, when we were living in South Africa, we didn't know we were going to leave South Africa. And I was in the ministry then. We had a car. The first car we had an accident. It was a Ford car. Then a friend of ours, Dr. Malau, great brother, gave us his Mercedes-Benz. So there am I in the ministry in Soweto, driving around the Benz. It was an old Benz. And then it was time for me to buy a car. Toying with the idea of buying a car. And you know, in Soweto, you need a car. Ministry shuts down at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, because the amount of rapes in Soweto. Or the amount of armed robbery. You don't stop at a robot, as they call it. When you see red, it means you go. You know what I'm saying? You go. You don't stop at a red light. It's look right, left, you understand, and then you go. You don't stop. It was intense. And I remember my impatience. Go up to this guy, nice Toyota Corolla. You know, when you haven't had a car in a long time, you're longing, you're dribbling, you understand? Car! All right. Went up to the guy. I said, I want the car. Now, I spoke to the accountant, I'm like, sorry, Father, I said, okay. They said, okay, yeah, we're going to get a car, let's finish the problem. But I told the guy, I want the car. Whereas, the deal hadn't been done in the office yet, about the money. Impatience. And then we get the phone call. London needs you. And I looked at the guy, and I looked at them, and the guy said, you know, you said you wanted the car, and he had already fixed some things on the car. And I went back, and I said, sorry. I'm going to London. Impatience. Moses. It cost him the promised land. Abraham, his impatience led to the birth of Ishmael. Peter, his impatience almost made him a murderer. We all make mistakes. Do I feel I feel, you know, recounting the story, I feel bad, you know, because impatience, you know, Sometimes you run to buy things, not the right thing, and you can't return it because you're just so impatient. When Satan attacks us, it's easy for us to get impatient. And we run ahead of God and lose our blessings. You know what, brothers and sisters? I really believe, you know, for every single one of us here today, we've really got to make sure that our impatience does not become a tool in Satan's hands. That he uses against us, and we make mistakes that dog us even though we come into the church for life. And we look back and we kind of think, man, God, I don't want to go down that road again. You know, point number one, we got to keep on working like the farmer. We got to be patient, guys. God wants a harvest of righteousness. Point number two, guys, we got to keep on witnessing. Keep on witnessing. It's not your circumstances. It's your faith in your hearts. Point number three, we got to be like Job. You know, at the end of Job's story, God gave Job more than what he had. Are we going to persevere as a church? You know, brothers and sisters, the power of patience. Heaven is going to be great. Heaven is a wonderful place full of glory and grace. I want to see my Father's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I hope you've taken some things away from the message today. The power of patience. God bless you all. Amen.